Bob Sandler said last week, the king is here. His presence is here. He inhabits the praise of his people. And there's no better place to be in than in his presence. No better place in all eternity to be in than in the presence of the mighty God, our Creator. He is worthy. Now today I don't have PowerPoint, so I apologize if you're offended. I don't have it. I actually didn't want the distraction of it today. The title of the message today that the Lord has placed on my heart and opened it up for me to be able to deliver it today is The Place. The Place. There are so many places that I enjoy being. And you could probably imagine and think about all the places that you enjoy being. I enjoy being at home. Not everybody can say that. Sometimes I've had times where I did not enjoy it, but I enjoy being at home. I enjoy being with Roger, my husband. I have to ask him how many years we've been married. But I enjoy being with Roger, my husband. We've been married quite many years. How many years, Roger? 38 years. 38 mostly wonderful years. Good years. There's no other place, though, that I'd rather be than sitting in the presence of the Lord. There's just nothing like that. And I guess that's why I'm pausing today. This is just sitting with me. So I just love to be in his presence. No better place to be. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28. We're going to be looking at some of the life of Jacob. So there was Abraham, Isaac, and then Isaac's son, Jacob. Genesis 28. And we're going to be looking at verse 10. But I want to give you a brief review before, you know, like a heads up on what's happening that brings him to this point. So what's happened in his life is his father said, I don't want you to marry anyone like your brother married. No one, I want you to go back to our people and find a wife, a suitable wife. Jacob's life was changing. He was leaving his place of residence, his family, to go find a wife. That's a huge journey. Jacob had many things that were happening along the way. And before he left, there was things that was happening in his family that was really trying, traumatic, and hard. So Jacob, he had some work in life to do that wouldn't just happen overnight. To find his place, to find where he needed to be, he had to go on this journey. That's kind of like we are in our lives. There is no one that's ever born on the face of the earth that wasn't born by the purpose and the design of God Almighty. That does not mean that people are always born into the right situation in a God-fearing home or in the right situation by a parent who's obeying God. Sometimes there's sin that happens and people disobeying God, someone gets impregnated and they have a child, but that child is not a mistake. That child is created by God Almighty. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. I do remember when my firstborn son came along that I thought I need to be turning to God and drawing close to the Lord, because I couldn't do that. I can't be a mom without God. That's how I felt. So in his birth, in having Justin Daniel Seegers, I turned my heart over to God, because God reminded me of how much I needed him, or I was going to mess up this soul. That's how I felt. So God used it. And I was married. I think we were married a year and a half when he came along. But not all children are born like that. Jacob is in the middle of some transition in his life, and he goes, and if you look with me to verse 10, he's on his way. He says in verse 10 of Genesis 28, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Well, that makes sense. The sun sets, we're gonna rest. We're going to stop traveling. He took one of the stones there and he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. That's a hard pillow. A stone. I can't understand that, but that's what he did back then. And he did that. So he's outside and his head's on a stone. And he put it under his head and laid down to sleep. Verse 12 says, and he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth and with its top reaching into the heavens. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord. And he said, the Lord said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. What a dream. Wow. An amazing dream. Your descendants, it says in verse 14, will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and the east and the north and the south. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. It goes on, the Lord's saying in his dream, verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done all that I have promised you. Until I've done what I promised you. What a dream. Wow. An amazing dream. God spoke to him in this dream. But Jacob, he awoke up. He woke up in verse 16 says, and when Jacob awoke, he... from his sleep, he thought, wow, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. God surprised him. This was an unexpected thing that happened on his way to find his wife. Unexpected. God showed up. God showed up when Jacob was really still, when Jacob couldn't be thinking or doing something else. Jacob was asleep, and God spoke to him, and Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And then what happened to Jacob? It says in verse 17, he was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob then was afraid. It says, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. I imagine he just set it up on end, poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel. Now, Bethel means house of God. So he changed the name of the place to Bethel, and he called it Bethel because, oh my, he had been in the presence of God. He surely had seen something from God in the moment. I don't know about you, but those moments in life are spectacular and awe-inspiring and frightening all at the same time when they happen. And then there's this, and then there's this loving feeling that you feel from the presence of the Lord as he reassures you that he's there to love you. That's how I've experienced the presence of God over and over again. But we know that He is God. And when we come in contact with God, we can't stand before His presence without Jesus. We can't. We have to have the blood of the Lamb. Jacob was in awe of this place. He called it Bethel, the very house of God. Verse 20 says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if you ever try to bargain with God, this is what Jacob's doing. He's bargaining with God. If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey and I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear. He's really praying. And if you're doing this for me, God, so that in verse 21, I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. Jake, this just says something here, doesn't it? Now, Jacob knows about God, but in that verse, it's kind of like he is not completely given everything to God. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be the God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. He made a vow. Vows are very important. Don't do that unless you can keep it. Vows are very, very, very important. Jacob vowed to the Lord to give him a tenth. He vowed to the Lord to put God in his place, in his life, to serve God. He's vowing to God his life. But he's also asking God for protection along the way and provision along the way. So God had already told him, I'm going to stay with you till I do what I promise. I'm going to stay with you and I will bring you back. He's also trusting God in a way, right? But there's something there. It was also unexpected along his life's journey to be in that house of God like that, to be in God's presence. Have you experienced that in your lifetime where God just stepped in and showed you how much he loves you? If you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know that. You've experienced that. God stepping in and showing you, because God woos us to him. He first loved us. And then we respond to him. He first calls us. So many times we're hunting for a place, aren't we? So many people in all the world, they're hunting for God. They're building these ziggurats, or I think I might have pronounced it right, where you've seen in Egypt, like these tall towers, these pyramids, or the ziggurats, where there's hundreds of steps, and they're trying to reach as high into the sky to find God or find absolution if they're in some kind of other false religion. And they're just searching for this. They're missing the mark completely. God cannot be found like that. It's only through Jesus. He's the only way. And God made the way. He made the way. So, he knocks on our door. Genesis, if we skip down to Genesis 20 or 32, and we read 23 through 30, we see some more about the life of Jacob. There's many things in between. Jacob and his brother, they have a terrible relationship. Jacob's brother is terribly jealous. If Jacob at a certain point in his life was standing before his brother would have killed him. Reminds me of Cain and Abel. But God helped him along the way. And then in this part that we're fixing to read in 23 of chapter 32, it says, after he had sent them across the stream. Now, Jacob's going back home. So we're on the other side of the story. Jacob's going back. Now, when Jacob went out, he just had his staff. He just was by himself. But going back, he had a lot with him. He had spent a lot of years growing up. A lot of years maturing. A lot of mistakes, I'm sure, made. He had come home. He was on his way home, and he had been through so much drama. I haven't seen the amount of drama in my life that Jacob saw in his life through all that he did for years to obtain the wife that he wanted. Much. But you can read about that in the in between. So here we are in 32, verse 23 through 30, and he says, and after he had sent them across, now he's going back home where Esau's at. He knows he's messed up with Esau, and he's trying to make peace. He's sending his family first. He's sending them, and he's trying to strategize how to do this and make amends. And in their culture, there were certain things that they did. And he sent them across the stream, and he sent over all of his possessions. I find it very interesting. All of his possessions. Now, here we are. Jacob is standing alone. Finally, after years of service, I'm sure he's had some times by himself, but something so significant is happening right here. He had sent everything he had at high cost and high risk away first. And he's standing alone. He sent all of his possessions and the people that he loved. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. He kept wrestling with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. They wrestled for a long time. Something Jacob wanted. He wanted something. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. The word place, it means a particular position or a point or a space. There's a lot of places. There's a place right there. There's a place right there. There's so many places. You're sitting in a place. The place is also a portion of space available or designated for or being used by someone. You could put something into a particular position and placement. That happened to me last week, by the way. God placed me. A place can be your home or a place of employment. Jacob is here wrestling with this person in this place, and he needed something. And he wanted a blessing, and he was not willing to let him go until he blessed him. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and you have overcome. God was involved with this wrestling. Now, Jacob did not overcome God in the way that you might think. Jacob didn't overpower God and put God in the, I don't know what hold it would be, and on the ground. That's not the point. Jacob wrestled with God, and he let go of some stuff. He wrestled with man. He wrestled with the struggle, and he let God. But he was victorious. And he came out a little wounded, didn't he? With his hip out of socket. That's very painful. And he remembers, I've got some wounds that I have, that I need to have, to remember how good God is and how good God has been to me. Sometimes he doesn't heal it all the way, just so we remember where we came from. Sometimes there's some residual stuff that we need to remember to let us know, oh, how good God is. Now, he's not going to let that evil sit and bitterness. That's not the residual. Sometimes there'll be a memory that comes up. And I have to just sit in the presence of the Lord and go, wow, you did that for me, God. I have to sit in the presence of the Lord and go, yes, that was me, but it's not me anymore. Thanks to you, God. You did this thing. This wrestling happens. God's to be praised. He is mighty. He delivers to the uttermost those that call on his name. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. He got a new name from God. He got a new name, and we do too. Our name is no longer alone. Our name is no longer afraid. Our name is no longer abused. We are now delivered and saved. We are at peace with God. We have a mighty conqueror, and his name is Jesus, the Son of the living God. He is God Almighty. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. This is the place we run to. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask me my name? Then he blessed him there. He gave Jacob the very thing Jacob wanted and desired so desperately. I imagine Jacob knew who he was. But he wants to, don't you want to know what the name of God is? We know Jesus. We know our Heavenly Father. There's a name above all names. His name is Jesus. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. In the moment that we come to our God, in the moment that we come to Jesus and we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he is the King of Kings. But at the moment that we come to him and we say and acknowledge, yes, you are the King of Kings and you are my King, I want you to come into my life. Our lives are spared. At the moment that we come to the King of Kings, and we're before the Lord, and he has called us and drawn us, and we say, nope, you're not my God. There's no hope unless we come to him in repentance. Our only hope is in Christ, and he is the hope of the world. And he is with us. If you have called him yours, and he is yours, and he has given you salvation, and you have received it, we have something to give to the world, the hope of Jesus Christ. Psalm 84:4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Psalms 22:1 says, and this is Moses, a prayer of Moses. And Moses said, it says, the man of God, Lord, you have been our dwelling place, which means refuge, in all generations. David said this, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. So David was talking about before, when he heard, let's go to the house of the Lord, and he had done the journeying to the house of the Lord, and then he's standing in the house of the Lord, and then he is rejoicing. Rejoicing. You know, the journey from wherever a person comes to being in the house of the Lord. And I'm not just talking about a church. I'm not talking about a tabernacle that is made by man's hands. I'm talking about the house of the Lord, being in the presence of the Lord, being in relationship with Jesus. That's what we're talking about today. David said, our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord. according to the statute given to Israel. Remember, Jacob was renamed Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Verse 6 of 122 in Psalm says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. You know, this psalm cultivates a delight in the immense privilege of being welcomed by God into his house, into his courts. You know, when we come together and we sing together and we feel the wonderful presence of God, you can't hype that up. Not really. No, you cannot hype that up. You can't make that up. That's God. He settles in. He inhabits the praise of his people. The wickedness in the world, they don't offer anything like this. There is nothing on social media. There's nothing on TV. There's nothing you can purchase in this world. There's no relationship that is corrupt in this world that can satisfy this need. There is none of that. It cannot even be remotely compared to the joy and the just so, so wonderful, awesome pleasure of being in God's presence. There's nothing like that. I remember when I was young, I probably was 15 when I did this. I was sitting on the side of my bed. I might have been 12. I was sitting on the side of my bed, and I moved the sheets a little bit, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, sit right here. And I'm waiting, because I had been in some really powerful services, and I wanted to see him come in my room. I wanted to see it. Not just feel it, I wanted to see it. I'm waiting for the sheet to move. No, it didn't move, y'all. It didn't move. But I waited a while. I had a lot to learn, didn't I? Of how the Lord just, I mean, he could have come and that whole thing could have just like moved and everything. I don't doubt that. But God doesn't choose to do certain things, does he now? For everybody or anybody. He does what he wants. I can imagine he probably smiled pretty big at me that day, huh? He loves us. Wickedness, it has nothing to offer us. Pilgrim's Journey was written, it's a Christian allegory, written by John Bunyan in 1687. That's a long time ago. He wrote this in a portion. There is a place I know not where, a time I know not when, which marks the destiny of men to heaven or despair. We do have a choice to make, and that choice we make every day. Every day. A choice to be in the presence of the Lord or not, to seek out God, to sit in his presence, to push away the world, whether it be for a moment or whether it be for a 10 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour in the rush and the bustle of everything that we do. Oh, how wonderful it is to just take time with him and let him take time with us. It's a place long awaited. Leviticus 26:11-12 says, I will put my dwelling place among you. This is God speaking to his people, and I will not abhor you. Well, he must be covering them with love, right? This is the love of God that covers a multitude of sins. God and sin does not mix. It's like oil and water. It cannot. Verse 12 says, I will walk with you and be your God, and you will be my people. This is God longing for us. He don't need us. He don't need us. He loves us. That's the thing. He loves us. Ezekiel 37:27-28. My dwelling place will be with them. What a declaration of God. I will be their God and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. Wow, that's just more than I can talk about. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This place long awaited, we can see when Jesus comes on the scene and he's calling his disciples. John 1:48-51 says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. He said, follow me. So he's in the process of calling disciples, and he was doing that before this happened. In 44, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethesda, and Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jacob? Isaac? No. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's renamed Israel. Joseph. Jesus is the son of Joseph. This is what they're all talking about throughout all of the Bible. Pointing to Jesus, whether from the Old Testament, pointing to his coming, or from the New Testament, pointing to he came and he's coming again. We are awaiting our Savior to return. We've found him. And verse 46 says, Nazareth, this is Nathanael replying, Nazareth, can there be anything good from there? Good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, Philip says. And Jesus saw Nathanael approaching and said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Jesus knows us before we ever come to him. He was waiting for him. How did you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than this. And he added this very important thing. Verily, verily, he said, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I said, on the Son of Man. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is the ladder. Jesus is the connection. There is no other but Christ Jesus himself who made a way for us. So wherever Jesus is, the place will become called New Bethel. Where Jesus reveals God to all mankind. Jesus will be a greater way, and he is a greater way, to the access. He's the only way. Greater way than what Jacob saw in the dream way back years before that. And Jesus is here today with us, wanting us. Hebrews 10:19-20 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have this confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, his very blood, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his very body. Well, we can go boldly before him, can't we? We can come to God. We can abide in him. We are no longer alienated. We are drawn to him. If we will just respond to him, we will find our place, which really wasn't lost. We were lost. Jesus is not. Let's all stand.